Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their drums.
I am wanting to press into a couple of thoughts here. True to form, I probably have more than I have time to take here this morning, which is fine. That always kind of leads me into next week. But I wanted to just grab what Rick had shared a couple of weeks ago. He had used, I think it was James 1:2. Is that right? Rick, consider it all joy when you encounter trials of various kinds. And we've been talking about praying for people. And I wanted to just get our heads around some things related to brokenness, which I mentioned during worship. And so let me just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to intervene here. So, Jesus, thank you so much for your kindness to each one of us, that you would use me and that you would use each other to spark ideas and share truth. And I just want to ask Spirit of Revelation to reveal to us the heart and the mind of Jesus for us today. And so thank you for your presence with us, and we just ask you, Lord, to bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we're praying for others and we're praying for ourselves, we have to remember some things about brokenness, because I think this is not a topic that we like to address because it depresses us, quite honestly. I mean, we have an entire culture driven by pain alleviation. You know, everything about our culture helps, you know, anesthetize. And that's not to say that alleviating pain is necessarily bad, but it's not always the ultimate goal. And God has created us with the capacity to heal and to restore and for pain to be alleviated. He has created amazing aspects of his character and his kingdom that are joyful and that are full of peace and that set things right and bring order. So those are the realities of the kingdom. And yet in our human state, we experience brokenness. And Jesus knew this, of course. That's why he came to the earth and he entered into our story. He became brokenness on our behalf. And so I wanted to take a look a few minutes here. But before I get into like the content of this, let me just say that I appreciate Chris Haggerty sharing last week. I was away. I was in Ohio in February. Quite gray. And it was beautiful, though. The people there were great. I went there specifically because I'm in a certificate program with a ministry called Healing Care Ministries International. And the certificate program is for formational prayer. And it's really about inner healing. It's about restoration of the heart. It's about the Lord meeting us in ways that can bring wholeness to us. And that's the word that I'd rather focus on as opposed to healing. Because not everyone leaves this earth healed. But we have the potential of leaving this earth whole, regardless of what's going on in our physical bodies, regardless even what's going on in the broken places of our heart. We have it in our hearts to see a restoration, to see a rescue, to see a redemptive work of God that delivers us from the effects of brokenness, that delivers us. And we have it in our hearts that God would do that for us, and that we would look at scriptures that say, you know, that there are people that are going to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And we would gravitate towards that theology of glory, really. It's just this great theology that God would want to bring that reality to us on the earth as it is in heaven. And I've ascribed to that for a lot of years. In fact, I love praying for people. I love praying for the sick. I love praying for people who are in desperate situations with the full intention that God would come in and intervene and display his glory. Yes. Sign me up for that. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would have it in their hearts to stand in a place of righteousness and in relationship with God to the place where they would be willing to be thrown into a fiery furnace for not bowing down to a false god, a false idol. And they said, our God will deliver us. They were speaking the language of victory and glory. But even if he doesn't, we're willing to enter into that space without guarantee of the glorious, like, outcome. They entered into a space that they had no guarantee that they wouldn't be burnt to a crisp, right? And so there's this dynamic in our brokenness where, yes, we want the glorious victory of Christ to be on display. We want God to show off. We want God to, you like, do something in our life. And we would even, like, you know, we play these cards with him, like, hey, and how much would that glorify you on the earth? You know, like, if you did this for me, you know what I mean? Like, we want to have this, like, the upper hand on this glorious thing. So that being said, even if he doesn't, where are we? And I've myself personally, and I've talked with plenty of people over the years, that they have a real crisis of faith because he didn't. I mean, they did everything. I did everything I knew to do. I called in all the heavy hitters to pray for us. And we didn't experience a glorious end. And so even if he doesn't. So I want to talk a little bit about brokenness. There's three distinct reasons why we experience brokenness in our lives. And the first one, forgive the language of, like, you know, theology, but I like it. I know that some of you are in here, you like it. You like nerding out on this kind of stuff. But there's the, like, this congenital brokenness. You know what congenital means, right? You were born with it. It's like an illness, like congenital heart failure or whatever. And so there's this brokenness that is present from birth that we as human beings, we enter into. And we could look at the scripture and we could identify that as the sinful nature. But I have to tell you this emphatically, it was not intended. All right, so God did not intend for sin to enter in and to mess everything up. And I'll just say it that way. Sin messes everything up. And so it translates into difficulties in life that are caused by a pervasive presence of sin, the acts of sin, the consequences of sin. And all of these things are actually acted upon by evil supernatural spirits. So you have to understand that there's a brokenness that comes that we were born into in our sinful nature, and it's just part of the reality of our humanity. I mean, we just enter into this place of brokenness, and there's plenty of evil that wants to prey on that, wants to focus on it, wants to enhance the brokenness, wants to enhance the effects and the consequences of brokenness, and absolutely, that brokenness is real, which kind of leads me, you know, to the idea that God hates it so much. He hates sin. He hates that type of brokenness that he has literally declared war against it. And he did that through Jesus, and he did that through the sanctifying work of the cross. He did that through the atonement of Jesus's blood. He did that through the power of the resurrection. He has done that so that when we enter into relationship with God, we have an exchanged life with God, with Jesus Christ coming in and creating a new thing in us, so that the lineage of our brokenness, that Adamic nature that we were born into, we are now translated from that nature into the nature of Christ. This is the adoption. This is what it means to be born again. This is the mystery that Christ would be in you, and this is your hope of glory. So this is the evangelist in me getting excited. Like, this is the work of Jesus. And this is how God has declared war on sin, by bringing Christ. And I'll speak to that more in just a minute. The second type of brokenness that I want to talk about, The first one was congenital brokenness. The second one, big word here, ready? Episodic brokenness. Oh, yeah. Now, the episodic brokenness, it really translates to a brokenness that is really shaped by experiences that we have. We're deeply impacted by wounding events that occur in our life. And it shapes the way that we think about ourselves, what we believe about God, how we see other people. And often it translates into a highly dysfunctional way of living life in this world. Okay? But it's really the story of our life. It's the experiential story of our life. And there's no shortage of brokenness, is there, when it comes to the type of experiences that we have? And again, the reason why we don't like to talk about this is because it can bring certain things up. It can bring memories up. It can remind us of difficult things that, you know, we have endeavored to forget, that we have endeavored to put behind us. I just want to share something with you, that your brain does not forget that stuff. And it still can create a filter for you, even though you don't actively think about it on a day in and day out basis. That there are things that have happened to us in our humanity with the people that are in our lives. I mean, broken people, they hurt people. And so here we are, we're born into this brokenness, and now we have the effects of that being translated into actual events that occur in our lives. And that type of wounding is real. That's why Jesus, when he came onto the scene, he says, "I have come to bind up the brokenhearted." And what he's saying there is, I have come to connect with you in that place of your brokenness that occurred as the result of experiences that you've had in life. So I'm going to speak to how Jesus meets us in these types of brokenness here in just a minute. But the third type of brokenness that I want to talk about, which we don't hear a ton of, not in our sphere, is a sacramental brokenness. And we have to be honest here, and we have to just take a look at the fact that there is a certain type of brokenness that is essential to being shaped into the image of Jesus. And this type of brokenness is something that God actually can initiate. And this is the type of brokenness that we read about when we have scriptures that say, "Fall on the rock and be broken." And I will talk more about this sacramental brokenness in just a second. The thing I want to do is I want to circle back up to how Jesus meets us in these different types of brokenness. I spoke to it already about the sinful nature and how Jesus has come. I think what we have to do is we really have to take an honest look at how deeply sin has affected our lives. If we don't take an honest look at how deeply sin has affected our lives, we'll never position ourselves to experience this transformative grace of God. We'll never experience it in real time. Yeah, we may have had that experience when we were younger and we walked down the aisle during an invitation, and we had this salvation experience. But you have to know that the effects of that sin that has been in our sphere of life, it still impacts us. And so we have to take an honest look at how has sin affected me. And when we do that, we'll be more inclined to really position ourselves to experience not only the grace of God, but also the stunning love of God. We can enter into this reality of our brokenness. We can step towards it, and in that place of being honest, feeling it, becoming more aware of the effects and how deeply sin has affected our life, I think it's to that degree that we open ourselves to receive the incredible grace of Jesus and the stunning love of God. If our goal is to deny and to back away and to, what does it say in Scripture? I mean, there's so much that talks about sin. And it says, if we say that there is no sin in our lives, then we are a liar. And the truth is not in us. So we have to take honest look at this, because I think God does want us to experience a victory and a glory. And I think that this is one of the postures that we can take to experience that in greater measure. There's this law. By law, I mean like an idea. It's like, so have you ever heard of negative dominance? The first time I heard this is when I was a youth pastor and I was over at the youth house and I was talking about sin and I was talking about how can I apply this like in a way that really makes sense. And so what I decided to do was I decided to bring in a recipe for brownies. And I decided that we were going to bring all the ingredients for brownies, and all those ingredients were laid out. And then I went out into the yard and I scooped up a little bit of dog poop. And I brought it in there and I put it right there next to all the other ingredients. And I was like, this is just a little bit. All right, it's just a tiny little bit of dog poop. Are you guys okay with me putting it in there? Because we're going to cook it. And there's so much other great stuff. I mean, look at all the sugar we're going to put in this thing. And they're like, absolutely not. 0% chance we're touching that. Okay? And so, working with me, right? So, tiny little bit of something unclean ruins everything. That's negative dominance. A tiny little bit of something unclean makes everything unclean. And Jesus doesn't operate that way, but I will tell you that the religious structure of his day certainly did. That's why it was so clear what was clean and what was unclean. Who was clean and who was unclean. Who you could touch and who you couldn't touch. Because if you touched something or someone that was unclean, then that would make you unclean. So their uncleanness would defile you. And so we live in this world, and there's all this stuff that's unclean. We're born into this broken nature, and all of a sudden, it's like, wow, criminy, where does holiness come from? And then we endeavor to become holy, you know, and we work really hard to become holy. But Jesus turned the table upside down. He turned it all around when he says, look, I will extend my hand to touch the leper because I do not function under negative dominance hierarchy. This is not the way of the kingdom. My holiness, when it touches something unclean, makes that person entirely clean. Now, what's true about us then is that the presence of the Lord coming into our life by virtue of this dynamic makes us holy. Now, we still can endeavor to live out that holiness, and so there are ways that we can be healed so that we can live righteous lives, but it's not in an attempt to become holy. It's the result of being holy. It's the byproduct of the holiness that God has extended to us through Jesus Christ. So that's a beautiful dynamic of this brokenness, converting then into a place of strength and healing and restoration. So if we're never going to take a look at, you know, the brokenness honestly, we're not going to position ourselves to let Jesus come in and touch us in that place. So I want to talk just a little bit about episodic brokenness. And I just want to encourage you, never underestimate the power of an event in your life. Never underestimate experience. Experience matters. And this goes across the board, across the spectrum. And since Jesus lovingly journeys with us into our story of brokenness to bring healing, our response is that we position ourselves to really encounter the living spirit of Christ in the places of our brokenness. This is the beautiful invitation of Jesus, and it's known as the journey of descent. It's known as coming into like a reality that it's not all about the upward trajectory of the high calling. There is a dynamic where we fix our eyes on Jesus and we move from glory to glory, but you have to know that the process of restoration brings us into a low place first. There's a dynamic where we go down into a low place and get real, meet Jesus. His resurrection life engages us, and we become transformed and restored into, well, ourselves, who we were always intended to be in Christ. So we're maturing in this process. And so to meet Jesus in this place of our brokenness is really key for us because what it does is it helps us when we have a sacred space with Jesus and we have loving community around us. What it does is it helps us identify the brokenness. It even helps us reengage the story of our life. It helps us grieve the loss. I mean, sin costs us things, brokenness and those sorts of things, they cost us. And we can actually grieve the loss of what was taken. And then we can encounter Christ there, and we can extend forgiveness, and we can embrace this Jesus. And we can hear Jesus say something like this: I have healed you. I am healing you. I will heal you. He's in it for the long haul. And it's a slow, patient work of God to meet us in the place of our brokenness. And this application of God's grace meeting us in that place where he would actually invite us into that place. Like he wouldn't just try to anesthetize us. He wouldn't just try to put a Band-Aid on us. He would actually like be willing to allow pain to enter into our current condition for the sake of a deeper wholeness. I mean, that's why it says in the scripture, the wounds of a friend can be trusted. If Jesus is truly our friend and he puts his finger on something that hurts, then we can trust him in that. Because what he realizes is the source of the infection is deeper. And it's not enough to just put a Band-Aid over it with behavior modification. We have to go to the source, go to the root of what's going on, let Jesus encounter us in that place so that healing can really occur. Guess what? You're still going to walk with a limp. You're still going to have a scar. There's still going to be remnants of that in your memory, but it's not going to have the same effect. It's not going to have the same filter of what you believe about yourself, what you believe about God, and what you believe about other people. His restorative work changes the way that we see life. And that's the good news, right? So, sacramental brokenness. I think there's another word for it, phrase, you could call it empowered grace. Remember Paul, he says, take this away from me, like multiple times. God, take this away from me. God, take this away from me. This suffering is like too much. I don't want it. Take it away from me. Whatever this thorn in the flesh was, whatever that burden was. And the answer that Paul received was, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul began to understand that there was a place in his weakness as a broken human being that was being infused by the power and the strength of Jesus. The grace of Jesus became sufficient for him, even in his suffering. Now, this isn't like, I'm not a cheerleader for suffering. I really don't like it. Pain hurts, right? It's not fun. And yet there's something rich. Even if he doesn't, remember that phrase from those who were facing the fire, that even if he doesn't rescue us, we're going to trust him. We're going to enter in. And so the thing about, you know, suffering, it raises all these crazy-making questions. I mean, they make me crazy. It might be evil. It might be the result of my mistakes. It might be the result of other people's mistakes. It might be God. It might ruin me. It might make me. It might disqualify me for godly, you know, whatever. Like my purpose in life, my service, my calling, it might disqualify me from that. Or it might actually qualify me for that. Should I pray for healing? Should I pray for strength? Should I fight? Should I surrender? These are all the questions that come up in our suffering. And they're real questions. And when we pray with someone who is suffering, when we pray with someone who is in the middle of their trial of various forms, we need to understand that they're having these questions as well. And our goal is not always to relieve them of their suffering. Our goal in prayer is to help them become aware of where Jesus is in the midst of their suffering. I think the classic definition for a spiritual director, if you've ever been around a spiritual director or someone who, you know, offers real help spiritually, it's not the guy or the gal who has the answer to help you alleviate your pain. It's the person who can help you connect with the reality of Jesus right where you're at in the middle of it. How many people did they see in the furnace when they looked in? He was in that place with them. And even if they got burnt to a crisp, he was still in that place with them. So Rick was absolutely right. I mean, God is extravagant. And he wants the very best for you and I. And at the center of this is the understanding that while we do seek relief, Jesus offers us intimacy. I mean, we do. We do need relief. I believe that every experience that you and I have had that have broken a place in our life, it's screaming out for a repair. And I believe that God knows that, and he wants to repair. He wants to bring healing, or should I say wholeness. And so what are the things that we're trying to alleviate? I mean, we're trying to alleviate pain, obviously, but we're also trying to alleviate emptiness. And I'm going to skip ahead of this one right here, and I'll just throw that out there as a little nugget, a little teaser for you for next time. Because we do have core longings. And when we have a core longing deficit, oh, by the way, when I was in Ohio, I was at this seminar, and I'm learning all this stuff about formational prayer and about deep inner healing work. So, I mean, you got to know that I'm just full up to here with this stuff, right? So it's just kind of coming out, right? So if you're like, okay, he just backed the truck up on me and like dumping all this stuff, I just want you to know that it's from a place of encouragement that the Lord wants to meet us in the very real places of our life. So intimacy. I think that intimacy with Jesus brings wholeness, right? And not simply healing, like I said. And so let me just tell a story that might illustrate this a little bit. And I was actually tempted to change the story up because I've been massaging this story for a couple of days, actually about a week or so. But it really has to do with the contrast between a primary theology of glory, like I was talking about, where victory is the ultimate goal. And then there's this theology of the cross, this theology of going into that place of brokenness and even death. And for that to be the seedbed for new life to emerge. So imagine you're driving in a blizzard, like some of you may have been last night, I don't know. And your car is on this deserted road, and it spins out and it goes into a ditch. And there's no getting it out. I mean, you've tried everything. You try rocking it back and forth. You tried, you know, everything you know how to do, and you're stuck. And the blizzard is raging. And it's getting colder and colder. And so you get in your car, and you turn the car on after you make sure, you know, like you move all the snow from the exhaust pipe, and you crack the window. Oh, and if you crack the window, if the wind's blowing this way, crack the window on this side. Okay. It just kind of helps. Keep you alive longer. But all of a sudden, your car runs out of gas. And the temp is dropping. It's plummeting. And you're beginning to realize, like, in fear, like, this could be it. Like, I could freeze to death out here. I am miles and miles from anywhere. I don't even really know if I could walk somewhere safe. I think if I went out there, I'd probably die. And so you pray, and you just pray this prayer, God, help me. And not too long after that prayer, you see the distant yellow lights, the amber lights of a tow truck coming down the road. And the tow truck turns around and backs up and connects your car to the tow truck, and it's Jesus driving the tow truck. And he invites you into the warm cab, and he puts a blanket around you, and he gives you a cup of soup, and he pulls you on out of there. Yeah. Let's write a song about that. Okay, same scenario. Blizzard, spun out, car runs out of gas, you're going to freeze to death. And you pray the prayer, God, help me. And after a little while, you hear this slight rap on the window of your car. And it's Jesus. And so you invite him in. And he comes and he has a seat with you. And it's getting colder and colder. And he's talking with you. And then you have this realization that, okay, Jesus is there with me, but I'm still going to freeze to death. And so you kind of get over this awkward moment and you ask Jesus, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, I've never done this before. Like, could you embrace me? Could we hold each other? Like, let's have a good cuddle. And the warmth of his presence with you sustains you through the night. Now, here's where I was wrestling with the story. Like, there's two endings, possible endings, because even if you don't, has a couple of options. What if, as he's holding you through the night, you both slip off into a sleep and you die? Or the other option is the sun comes up and starts to warm the car and you have this great experience with Jesus and you exchange numbers and you say, hey, I want to meet with you this week because I really like you. I don't know what the options would be. Like, there may be a death of a thing that has to happen. And you're asking God for help. You're asking for a rescue, whatever it is. Rest assured he wants to meet you there. How he meets you there is really up to him, because ultimately the goal is for intimacy with him, for you to be more conformed into the image of Christ Jesus as you surrender your will, your life, it's essentially like taking up the cross daily, right? And we like the idea of following the way of Jesus, but we're not always keen about following the way of Jesus the way that Jesus walked the way. Because, you know, what Bonhoeffer says is, he bids you to come and die. And that really smacks against the current culture of our society. And it really smacks against our survival instincts. And so the hope here is that we would remember Paul, that all of his successes in life, they were really nothing compared to knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. Because whether the resurrection is symbolized in the rising of the sun on that cold wintry morning and the warmth start filling up your car and you and Jesus walking out of there, or if you slip off into a restful place of surrender and eventually death, you have to know, because Jesus is there, resurrection life is there with you. So I want to surrender to the process of sacramental brokenness. I want to discover deeper things with Jesus. I want to experience him more fully in the place of my brokenness. And so I want to invite you to just think about that this week, wherever you're at in your journey. And my prayer then, just like I was leading us in that time of meditation, of connecting with the truth, I just want to ask Jesus to connect with your heart. So can we pause for a minute and pray that?
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.